Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your great love. We are amazed by your love. Lord, we know that when we get in your presence, when we sit before you in quietness, we listen to your voice and we get in your word and we read and we wait in expectation. Lord, we know that when we dwell with you, Lord, you speak through your word. And Lord, we thank you that you give us just what we need. You've said your sheep will hear your voice. They know you and they'll follow you. Lord, we thank you for that truth. But Lord, there are some here today that are probably not your sheep yet. Lord, they aren't hearing your voice. Lord, would you help them to hear it this morning? Lord, would you speak directly to anybody who does not know you yet? Anybody who's deceiving themselves? Lord, speak clearly to them. Help them to respond to you. Lord, get me out of the way. Lord, teach us from your word. Let us hear from you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Watch out. Test what you hear. That's some good advice. That's some good advice. It's a principle coming straight from God's word. Watch out and test what you hear. A few years ago, John Allen and I were thinking about doing some fishing together. And I'm not a big fisherman. I fished some when I was little, but I was trying to figure out a way to spend some more time together. And he's interested in it, and I like it. And so we planned on going fishing together. And he had been watching something on TV, and he had been seeing this banjo minnow lure. And he got real interested in this banjo minnow. And so he brought my attention to it, and we saw it together. So we went out looking for this banjo minnow. And we found it at Bass Pro Shop. We didn't want to wait and order it from TV. So we found it at the Bass Pro Shop. And we got that banjo minnow and we brought it home and we started watching some DVDs and seeing how you do it, how you use it. And the whole point of this banjo minnow was that was John Allen and I scheming against these fish. We were going to try to deceive these fish. We were going to try to trick these fish. Because you see, they won't bite an empty hook. You just drop a hook down in the water, they're not going to go for that. You're probably not going to find them on your line. But if you can come up with something that looks so good to them and it just looks like the real deal and it just looks like it would satisfy and it just looks perfect to them, and if you can learn to just do the motions in just the right way to make it look totally real, you can deceive these fish. You can scheme against these fish. And they'll just swim up nice and hungry and say, "Ooh, that looks so good." And they'll bite into that and whoo! They're hooked through the mouth. They're flying through the water and they notice they're not swimming. And pretty soon they're up out of the water and they're in your cooler and they're history. Well, the same goes for you and for me. Your enemy is fishing for you. He's scheming against you. He's doing all he can to deceive you, to make it look so good, to make it look like the perfect thing and just right. To make it look so real so that you'll go after it and you'll try to grab it. And before you know it, that's it. You're hooked. He's got you. So how can you avoid the devil's traps and help others to do the same as a believer? How can you avoid the devil's traps and help others to do the same thing? Well, let's look at it. Let's look at it. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 14. And if you're new at this, just open your Bible right in the middle. Well, it might be to the left just a tad. Open it to the middle and just start turning to the left a little bit. You'll see Isaiah pretty soon, right in the middle. After Psalms and Proverbs. Isaiah, let's look at chapter 14. Let me read verses 12 through 14. Excuse me. This is Isaiah, the prophet. He writes this. God writes this. Hear him say it to you and to me. How you have fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to the earth. You who once laid low the nations, you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of assembly, on the utmost heights of the sacred mountain. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. Now, some believe that Isaiah, the prophet, here is giving a description of the fall of Satan. And it looks very much like that. And when you look at what Jesus said in Luke 10, I saw Satan fall. We know that Satan fell. And so some believe that this is a description of the fall of Satan. Well, we do know it's definitely talking about the king of Babylon. That's what we're talking about right here directly in the text. We definitely know it's talking about the king of Babylon. Babylon was the capital, the main city here in this empire of Assyria. And he's definitely talking about the king of Babylon, who is later used as a type or a prefiguration of the beast that Scripture talks about in Revelation. And so it is speaking of the king of Babylon, who's later used as a type or a prefiguration of the beast who will lead the Babylon of the last days. And you can see that in Revelation 13:4 and 17:3. But let's look at that. Let's look at this fall. Definitely of the king of Babylon. His arrogance, his pride, all that he was thinking, and then his fall, but then also Satan. Look at this angel, this Lucifer, who fell. And notice what he says in verse 13. Speaking of him, it says, you said in your heart, and look at it as Satan. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of assembly, on the utmost heights of the sacred mountain. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. Did you notice right in verse 13? It says, you said in your heart. That's significant. You said in your heart these things. This pride, this arrogance. Well, the first thing that we want to notice here, how can you avoid the devil's traps and help others to do the same? Well, first of all, be humble. That's the first thing we need to learn here. Be humble. Know that pride comes before a fall. That's straight from the mouth of God. That's in Proverbs. Pride comes before a fall, which is exactly what we see here with Satan, with this king of Babylon. Take it to the bank. That's just the truth. As soon as you get prideful, just watch out. Pride comes before a fall. So be humble. That's the first thing that we need to do. Be humble. He said in his heart these things. What are you saying in your heart? What are you saying in your heart? Examine your heart. Is there any pride there? Look into your own heart. What are you saying in your heart? You see, God hates pride. It says that in Scripture. God hates pride. It lists a number of things that God hates in Proverbs. Pride is one of those. God hates pride. He tells us in His Word, in other places, God opposes the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. I don't know about you, but I don't want God opposing me. It's bad enough some of these teams that we're playing against in Christians League opposing us. They're doing a number on some of us. But, my goodness, I don't want Almighty God opposing me. Well, God, all you got to do is get proud. Just be a little bit proud if you want God to oppose you. God opposes the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. What are you saying in your heart? You see, watch out. You may be saying, I think I'm doing pretty good. As a Christian, I'm living the Christian life. I've been a Christian for many, many years. I grew up in the church. I think I'm doing pretty good. As a Christian, living the Christian life. You know, I think God will let me in. I think I'm doing pretty well. See, what does that say? That's pride. That's pride. And we know from Scripture that doesn't matter how good we do or even think we do, we could never get in on our own merits. We could never get into heaven on anything we could do. It's something that's got to be done for us. So what are you saying in your heart? Realize that you can't. You can't be good enough. You can't get in. Don't be that one that Jesus talked about in that last day that will stand before Him and will say, and it's all over and life is ended and there's no other chances, there's no second chances. Don't be that one that stands before the Lord saying, well, Lord, I did this in Your name and I did this and I did this. I thought I was doing good. I thought I was doing pretty good as a Christian. And He said, but I will look at them and say, depart from Me. I never knew you. You see, it's not about what you're doing or how good you're doing. It's about knowing a person, Jesus Christ. It's about knowing Him. It's about trusting Him and what He did for you to save you from your sins. Are you doing that? Do you know Him personally? Do you have a relationship with Him? Are you one of His sheep? Do you hear His voice? Be humble. Notice He said, it said, in His heart, He thought. What does God say about the heart? You know what He says about your heart? He says, above all else, guard your heart. Guard what you're saying in your heart. Guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. That's what God tells you. Guard it. Watch what is coming out of the heart. Watch what you're saying in your heart. Examine that. Look at that. Is there any pride that you need to deal with this morning? Are you completely humble? Saying, oh, Lord, yeah. It's not me, it's all You. Are you completely humble this morning? Is there any pride that you need to deal with? Well, now's the time. Deal with it this morning. Deal with it when we have a prayer time in just a little bit. When Chris comes up and leads us, you just examine your heart. You just pray. You just ask God to show you any pride and you just get it out. You just confess it to Him. Get rid of it. Secondly, we notice we need to be alert. How can you avoid the devil's traps and help others do the same? Be humble, but also be alert. Be alert. You see, your enemy is where you live. He's not off somewhere. Your enemy is where you live. You see that in 12b? Look at the second part of verse 12. O morning star, son of the dawn, you have been cast down to the earth. I don't know about you, but I'm living here on the earth. Well, He's the ruler of the prince of the air. He's on the earth. You see, the devil, he lives where you live. So you need to be alert. God tells us many times in His Word, be alert. Be on guard. 1 Peter, what I quoted some this morning, 1 Peter 5:8, be self-controlled, be alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion. He is where you are. Prowls around like a roaring lion looking for somebody to devour. So stay alert, God tells you. And He tells me, stay alert. And then in James, He says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Resist him. So be alert and then resist him. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Resist the devil. You see, there's a spiritual battle going on daily all around you. You live in a battlefield as a Christian, not on a playground. Ephesians 6, mark that down, write that down. You need to pray on that armor every day. That's a part of my prayers. I pray on that armor of God every day. You need to do that. Ephesians 6, look at that, read that, study that. You see, it tells us that the struggle that you're having, it's not against flesh and blood. See, you've been thinking it's that person. Oh, well, if she would just, my goodness, if he would just do this, and that's my struggle. It's them. It's their fault. Ephesians 6 says, no, it's a spiritual battle. Ephesians 6 says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the rulers and the powers and the authorities, the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And so therefore, stand firm against the devil and his schemes and put on this armor. Pray on this armor of God continuously. Pray it on every day. You see, the devil is no respecter of persons. Jesus, the Son of God, what happened? He's baptized and he comes up out of the water. The Spirit of God, the Spirit leads him out into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He's following God. He's following the Spirit. The Spirit of God leads him to the desert or the wilderness. Why? To be tempted by the devil. So even the Son of God, Jesus, he's tempted by the devil, and the devil has this interaction with him. Well, you need to be alert. If Jesus was tempted, you're going to be tempted. Be on guard. Not only do we need to be humble and be alert, next you need to be discerning. Be discerning. And here's where we get the title for this message. So, watch out. Test what you hear. That's being discerning. Watch out and test what you hear. Be discerning. Where am I getting this? Where does this come from? This is what God tells us in 1 John 4. What does He tell us? 1 John 4. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. God tells us to test everything, test every spirit, test what you hear to see if it's from God. Because there's many false prophets, many false teachers, much false teaching going on. And anything that's not from God, He says, is the spirit of the Antichrist. It's the opposite. That's from the devil. And so, test. And how do you know? What did He say? Do they acknowledge that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh? What's that? Do they acknowledge Jesus? Do they acknowledge who He is, who Scripture says He is, who He claimed to be? That He is God who came down from heaven, that He's fully God and fully man? Is that what they say? You hear a teaching, ask them about it. What do you believe about Jesus? Do you believe He's fully God and fully man? You believe He's God? See what they say.
Do they acknowledge that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, that He's who He is, who He claimed to be, that He's fully God, that He's fully man? Or do they not acknowledge Jesus? Well, then this is the spirit of the Antichrist, God tells us. He says, test everything. Test what you hear. There's your litmus test in John chapter 4. So, be discerning. Test the spirits. Watch out for false prophets. And it's not only here. How many times do you remember Jesus saying, watch out for false prophets and false teachers. They will be among you. They will be like sheep. They will be like wolves in sheep's clothing. In other words, they'll be right here among you. They'll look just like a believer. They'll look like a sheep. But they're really wolves underneath. They're just in sheep's clothing. And Jesus warned many times to watch out for false teaching, false prophets. You see, Satan is a master at distorting God's word. You see, he can take just enough truth to where the whole thing seems to be true, but he can twist God's word and the truth just enough to fool a lot of people, lead a lot of people in, deceive a lot of people, right? He's not going to catch you on a bare hook, is he? But he can make it look just like the real thing. Oh, they're talking about Jesus. They're talking about God. This is a great thing. But then he can twist it just enough to where you bite it, or somebody you know bites it. Then he's got you, because the whole thing's a lie. He just twisted it just enough to where people wouldn't recognize it. He's a master at distorting God's word. He's been that way since the beginning. What did he do with Eve in the Garden of Eden? Genesis. What did he do? God had said, you may eat from any tree in the garden. Just do not eat from this tree in the middle of the garden. Okay, that's what God said. There's God's word. You can eat from any tree in here. Just don't eat from this one. There's God's word. You remember how Satan distorted God's word? Satan came up to her and said, did God really say you can't eat from any tree in this garden? You see it? It's confusing. You see, God's not the author of confusion. God is the Prince of Peace. Satan is the author of confusion, twisting, distorting. Did God really say you can't eat from any tree in the garden? Eve said, no. He didn't say we can't eat from any tree in the garden. He said we can't eat from this tree. Oh, well, God knows. He's holding something back from, I'm paraphrasing a little bit. God's holding something back from you. He knows your eyes will be open when you eat from this tree. You see, Satan distorts, he twists God's word. He did the same thing with Jesus. What we were talking about in the wilderness, he's tempting Jesus. And he takes Jesus on the highest point of the temple and he says, cast yourself down. And what does he do? Satan uses God's word. But he distorts it. He has a wrong interpretation of it. And what does he say? He says, cast yourself down from the temple. God says that his angels will pick. You will not strike your foot against a stone. I believe it's Psalm 91 that he's quoting. You won't strike your foot against a stone, but his angels will grab you in their arms. You can do that. And Satan says, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. I mean, Jesus says, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. So Jesus answers back with Scripture to Satan's distorted view of Scripture. So watch out. Be alert. Be discerning. You see, Satan, many times when he distorts God's word, he always seems to add to it a little bit or take away from it just a little bit. Keep it God's word so he can get you on the hook. But take away a little bit. Add a little bit. So he can get you so the whole thing becomes false. But you see, God's already told us about his word. He's already told us throughout his word that it's flawless. It's perfect. It's his completed revelation. God's already said many times in his word, if anybody ever adds to this word or takes away from it, in Proverbs it says he'll be found out to be a liar. At the end of Revelation it says if anybody adds or takes away from this book, let all the plagues of this book come upon that person. God's serious about anybody adding to his finished revelation, his written word. God's serious about anybody adding to it or taking away from it. And he's told us that up front. He said it's finished, it's perfect, it's flawless. Don't add to it and don't take away from it. That's what God says.
But you see, Satan always adds, he always takes away. And see, Jesus said, watch out, there'll be many false prophets, many false teachers among you. Look at all the things that have happened. Look what happened in the 1800s, 1820 something. A man named Joseph Smith. He allegedly claimed that the angel Moroni came to him and said, here's where these gold plates are. Here in America, you need to find these gold plates. And there'll be some seer stones, and those will help you interpret the plates. And he got somebody, but you're not ready for this revelation yet. So you had to wait a couple more years until he was worthy. And then when he became worthy, he could go and search for this. And he did. And this man helped him interpret the plates and all that. And you know what happened? We got another testament of Jesus Christ. We have a whole nother testament of Jesus Christ. A whole nother book added to God's Word. Wait a minute. Didn't God just say, don't add to it, don't take away from it? It's finished, it's complete, it's flawless, it's perfect. And we have the Book of Mormon. And we have other scriptures. And there's many, many people that have done things like this. Charles Taze Russell. He didn't like the fact that God says in His Word there's a hell. He didn't like that doctrine. And he began teaching a group of people. A lot of people followed him. And you know what? His group has come up with a new Bible. It's called the New World Translation. And there are many mistranslations. There's some things that are changed around. Let's don't add a little bit or take away a little bit, but just think about one verse. Let's look at John chapter 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So that's what God says. The Word was God. Well, in the New World Translation, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. The Word was a God, not the Word was God. What are we doing? We're dealing with 1 John 4. What do they believe about Jesus? No, He wasn't God. The Word was not God. He was a God. He's like God. And that's the New World Translation. That's the scripture of the Jehovah's Witnesses. And there's been many. We're running out of time. I apologize. But there's so many. Muhammad claimed that the angel Gabriel, back in around 700 B.C., claimed that the angel Gabriel came to him and gave him these things. Well, we have the Quran, Muhammad. And it plays out today. You know that. There's a young man that I know that I've been talking to lately, and his girlfriend kind of got involved with this church, and he went to it, and the pastor at the church basically told him that she has this prophecy and that she was prophesying over him. And she said, this is what he told us, this is what he told our Bible study group, that she told him that she was prophesying for him, and she said that if he does not come to this church every time the doors are open from now on, he will die. Well, he hadn't been going there, and later on they told him he shouldn't come here anymore for some other reason. But he's still alive as far as I know. You don't add to, you don't take away from God's Word. And finally, be leading. Be leading. How can you avoid the devil's traps and help others do the same? Be humble. Be alert. Be discerning. And be leading. Be leading others. Know God's Word yourself. What does it say? You know the test. What do they believe about Jesus? What does this teaching say about Jesus? Know God's Word well enough yourself to know if something you're hearing is adding to it or taking away from it. Or search it out or look it up or go to somebody. Get some resources. And then help others. Help others come into the truth. Don't just leave all these people in these error ways, these different teachings, people who are under false prophets and teachers. Let's not just leave them there, but what? Be leading. You see, Paul went to people who weren't believing yet, and he reasoned. He reasoned with them. It says he always went to the temple, and he reasoned with the Jews. And then he was out in the marketplace, and he'd be reasoning with people, talking back and forth. And Proverbs says that to win a city, you pull down the stronghold in which they trust. Well, you know, I think you could apply that spiritually too. You can talk with people, reason with people, find the errors and pull that down and show them the truth. Expose the lies and show them the truth. Well, let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your love for us, Lord. We thank you for your truth. Lord, thank you for making your truth ready and available and in written form that we can just hold it and we can cling to it. And Lord, most of all, we have your Holy Spirit. If we have given our hearts to you, if we have believed you and trusted you, that you will never leave us, you will never forsake us. And you've given us the best protector of all. You've given us the Holy Spirit that will guide us into all truth. We thank you that you keep us. Lord, maybe there's somebody here this morning and they've heard that pride comes before a fall. And Lord, they realize that the worst possible fall they could ever have by their pride is to fall in life and never have the forgiveness of their sins, to spend eternity separated from you in hell. Lord, help them to realize, Lord, anybody who's trusting in themselves or anything they can do to get to heaven, Lord, help them to turn from that pride, to know that it leads to a fall, and to repent, to turn to you and say, Jesus, I could never get to heaven. I am a sinner. Have mercy on me. Thank you that you died for my sins. You took my punishment. I believe you're raised from the dead, and I ask you to save me. I put all my trust in somebody else, not myself. I put it in you, Jesus. Save me. I give my life to you. I want to follow you. And Lord, if there's anyone who, Lord, needs to connect to this body of believers, if you're calling them to join this church, Lord, tell them that as well. And Lord, during this song, as Chris leads, Lord, help us to pray, deal with any pride in our hearts, anything you're telling us to do, may we respond. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.